Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our hymn. Write down these words, for they are trustworthy and true. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, while a few of us were at a meeting with the Navy chaplains from the base, there was another guy sitting at our table. His name was Randy. I had never met him before. And when the chaplain began to speak, Randy pulled out a remarkable tablet, just like this one. I was amazed. I could not believe it. I've only met one other person that has had one of these, but he didn't have it with him at the time. So, of course, I had to comment on it at the end of the meeting. He told me, "I have to write things down. When I'm writing, my thoughts are more free-flowing, and I can look down at a physical copy and hold it in my hands without all of the annoying notebooks laying all over my office when I'm trying to find a particular study I wrote." I said, "I cannot agree more." There is just something about putting pen, in this case it's called a remarkable marker, to paper, and again, in this case, it's electronic paper, if you can all see that. By writing these words, they take what is only a conceptual idea and bring them into the physical reality of our world. I can see them. I can read them. And hopefully others can understand them. These types of written words give us a solid foundation to return to, something concrete to stand on, something tangible to grasp a hold of, especially when we feel like we have lost our way, when we are in need of hope in our lives. Comfort and hope was certainly needed by the Christians of the Roman Church. John's letter, what we call John's Revelation, while mentioning the seven churches in Asia Minor in the text, was also sent to the Christians in Rome. Written around 90 AD, which would have been during the reign of Domitian, the Christians were enduring great persecution. They needed hope. They needed comfort. They needed to know that it was all going to be okay. Revelation is a book of Scripture that so many people find fascinating to read. But you see, we are not being persecuted like those Christians in Rome. Sure, we face our own type of minor unrest. I mean, for years we have been ridiculed for our values. Around holidays like Christmas and Easter, norms about men and women rooted in Scripture and have been held since the beginning of time are now being attacked and torn apart. And as a side note, it seems like the loudest and angriest voices of those who seem to be the most lost, the most hurting, searching for that one thing that they can change that will bring comfort to their lives. But John's letter is addressed to Christians. That means his letter is addressed to you. not to the agents of chaos in our world. The letter is a message to all of those who felt that maybe what I've been taught about Jesus is not true. Jesus' life-changing message of hope does not seem to be changing the life these Christians are living. So through John, we read, I make all things new. No more tears, no more mourning, no more death or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See, these are very powerful words to people who are living under the threat of death every day. Every day, society gets worse and worse. Every day, there are tears of mourning for the latest martyrs for the faith. Every day that goes by, the reality of a world broken by sin comes into a starker focus. God's perfect creation, infected by sin, is the old order. From that day in the garden until today, and from today until Jesus returns, we are living in this old order of things. It is a world ordered by chaos, a world ordered without hope. This is the world that Jesus came to in order to make all things new. Jesus steps into the chaos as true man and experiences firsthand our world's brokenness. He lives alongside of sickness and disease. He is hungry, he is cold, thirsty, and tired, and we even see Jesus weep over the death of one of his dear friends. He knows the only way for the new to come is to break the power of the old. And breaking the old way of sin and death is not through roaring armies or invading nations. No, the only way to break the power of sin is forgiveness. So Jesus experiences the brutality of the old order as he is crucified. Humbly and willingly, Jesus hangs on the cross and gives his life for us. And in a quiet voice, the old order of sin and death is crushed forever. Jesus says, it is finished. The old is defeated and put away, never to hold power upon us again. And on Easter morning, which we are still celebrating the season of Easter, Jesus raises to new life. But this is not just the old life redone, this is new life. And this new life he gives to us by faith. By faith we confess who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and thus we are forgiven of our sins, all of them, even the sin of at times wondering if Jesus really is who he said he is. And in that forgiveness, we walk in what St. Paul calls the newness of life. Imagine the relief that the Christians who were enduring such persecution, how they felt after reading these words of Jesus that John has written down. For he wrote down, it is done. Whatever they encountered, whatever they were called to endure, whatever we face in this broken world, we are not held under its power or bound by its force, for the new has come. In our text, we even hear God the Father speak, and he says, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of the water of life. Water in the book of Revelations is always life, and life is given freely. No cost involved. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It is only given as a gift, and it begins in the waters a baptism. In these waters, whether you were an infant or an adult, we go from being lost in a world of sin and death without hope to new life, as God has told us the old order of things has passed away. We rise from those waters to new life with our loving Lord. So at that moment, what John sees, what John writes down, becomes our future hope. Unfortunately, for most of us, we don't remember those special days. Now, I do remember parts of my confirmation day, mostly taking of the pictures and being terrified that Pastor Chambers was going to ask me a question in front of the congregation. But at home, I have my confirmation certificate. I can pull it out, I can read what's written down on there and say, yes, this really happened. It's true. I can't remember my baptism. I was too young. But I bet if I tried hard enough, I could track down the church and see it written in their record book in the office. But you see, we don't really have to do that. We have Holy Scripture written down for us. And in it, Jesus tells me that by faith, my name and your name and all of the persecuted Christians in Rome 2,000 years ago are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, etched with Jesus' very own blood. That's all great news, isn't it? I'm sure the persecuted Christians felt the same. But when we look outside, we still see a world of chaos and brokenness. And that's why this is so important. For in these words from Revelation, we learn of the unveiling of Jesus in his exalted glory as the reigning Lord. So then he rules everything for the sake of his church on earth. This then is the faith and the comfort for all Christians, for his church on earth, for Jesus rules over all history, all events, all sin and evil and death and suffering and hell. In Christ, because we are in Christ, these can never ever rule over us. This is what we stake our eternal lives on. And why is that? Because John wrote these words down, for they are trustworthy and true. Amen.